This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Oh, when the red, red robin comes bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he
I just love that. You are listening to the Bristol City Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Bing Crosby binging us in there. I've got to say, I do a number of fan shows. This station does a number of fan shows. That is what we do, by the way. We give you, the fan, a voice, a platform to have your say on national radio. It's simple, it's easy. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. But this next 30 minutes, well, it's the Robins say only. They take it over. But that song, that entrance, I'm putting it out there, it's the best. It's the best. And not only when you have the best, you got to be joined by the best. But the best wasn't available, so I decided to be joined by Stanley Hughes from One Stream in Bristol. Stanley, my man, how are you?
Yeah, shame that Best Toast couldn't do it as well, Charlie, eh?
Exactly, and that's what I mean. You go down the list, you look at the top five at Love Sport, they're not available. And then they go, let's get the next three or four in. They can't do Wednesday nights. Then they draft me in. It's just what happens, mate. I can only apologise.
You've got to make the most of his sub appearance, mate. And who knows, he might get 10 minutes.
Exactly. I've been trying like League Cup appearances a couple of minutes here and there. I know that you had a bromance going with Kieran Critchard on the Championship Fan Show. And I thought, no, Stanley, you're mine. This is the Bristol City Fan Show. This is the Robins Takeover.
It's nice to know that you guys are fighting over me. And I like this. How long can we keep this up so we don't have to talk about Leeds?
Well, I knew that that was coming, and unfortunately, because I am the sub, we have to keep it moving on. We have to talk football. That is what this show is about, even though our bromance is a blossoming one. Stanley, the last time I spoke to you, it was going so well for the Robins. Four successive wins in the Championship, four clean sheets, 3 1-0s on the bounce, and then since then, it's 1-1, lost one, 1-1, lost one. Leeds on the weekend. We're back to that sort of up and down form, and I just can't put my finger on what's going on at the minute with the team.
Yeah, well, you can't win every game without conceding. That'd be boring, Charlie. I mean, yeah. You know, normally with Lee Johnson, you win for and then lose for. So, you know, after we lost to Birmingham, people were expecting us to go on a little run. You know, Derby, Leeds, West Brom, perhaps we'll lose four in a row. So we sort of, you know, we got it back with Derby, 3-0 up, and it was a bit uncomfortable at the end. And then going into Leeds, I think City fans weren't quite sure what to expect, really, especially with Leeds on a bad run of form, you know. And, a bad result I'm sure we'll talk about in a sec. But I think most of us are reasonably positive.
Yeah, reasonably positive because you didn't have those four defeats on the spin. It has been up and down, but it's been up and down, Stanley, for every team at the minute. Forest lost to Charlton. Brentford couldn't get the results. Fulham just got beat by Barnsley. This isn't just, you know, Bristol maybe having up and down form. This is all the teams and all of the top teams as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, even though we lost to Leeds, I think Leeds were the only team in the top seven to win. You know, if you're going to pick a week to lose to a top two team, you know, we didn't pick a bad one, really. You know, we could have drawn the game and everyone else could have won and actually we'd be in a worse position. So, you know, you've got to take stock and we haven't really lost points on anyone apart from Leeds in a sort of in a giant sense anyway.
Yeah, I like that thinking. You know, maybe if you would have got a draw, everyone else won, it would have been a worse position. A good positive outlook, Stanley. I expected nothing else. But you are just outside those playoffs on goal difference. But it's only 3 points away from the top three. And if we can take another positive, it is still all in front of Bristol. You know, it's in their own hands, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Whatever sort of Lee Johnsonism you want to use, it's in our destiny. It's in our own hands.
Oh.
You know. I think we do best when we're flying under the radar, really. You know, even when we won four in a row, no one really talks about us. And, you know, we're outside the playoff. I think there was a point a couple of weeks ago, we were level on points with Brentford and we were 151 to win the league and they were 7-1. So, you know, we're all right with that. We're little old Bristol City, you know, in somewhere in the southwest where no one visits. We're fine with that, to be honest, Charlie. And, you know, long may it continue, and maybe we'll sneak in and shut everyone up come the end of the season.
Who knows? Not soon to be in the future. I've seen those plans, those developments for the Bristol Sports Quarter, basketball stadiums, every rugby, football. Looks fantastic what's going on down there. We'll have to do a fan show of the basketball team soon. Let's keep it, though, on the Robins and on City. Obviously, let's talk Leeds now. It was 1-0 on the weekend. It wasn't to be. What did you make of the contest? I know you don't like to talk about it, Stanley, but we got her.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'll revisit it. I mean, I wasn't sure what to expect, like I said earlier, really. I mean, Leeds were in poor form, and I think we played them three times under Bielsa and lost all three. I think when I saw the starting lineup, I got a bit worried, to be honest. I mean, now it's come out that Corey Smith, Benkovic and Famro Djeju were all ill or injured, and that's why they didn't start, or in Corey Smith's case, beating the squad at all. We didn't have many chances, and I think certainly Leeds were the better team, and they are a better team overall. I think, you know, everyone in the Championship, and maybe some Prem fans should be jealous of Leeds for having Marcelo Bielsa as their manager. And Calvin Phillips returning just absolutely dominated it. If I'm honest, we had a couple of chances, and that's sort of what we are as a team, really, Charlie. I think we're bottom of the league for expected goals, if you're into stats. I think we're top of the league for conversion rates. We sort of pick and choose our moment to have a chance and then hopefully score it. I think we had one real chance of note, and that was Naki Wells got put through and just hit the side netting. And if that goes in, suddenly it's a mugging, smash and grab, you know, one all victory away to Elland Road. But, you know, I think if you take stock and look at the game, we can't be too despondent. And shout out to Leeds fans, by the way. They've got a half-decent atmosphere going.
Hey, they've got a half-decent atmosphere going at Elland Road. And obviously it was 1-0. It was a bit of pill to swallow. And maybe why it was a little bit worse, former Robins player getting on the score sheet to give him that win.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, Luke Haley.
Yeah,
did,
I thought you was just glossing over it, in fact.
No, see, I sort of pushed these things
back of your mind,
Charlie. Yeah, exactly. It's a bit like, you know, soon after this show finishes in about an hour, I'll hopefully try and,
wow,
you know, erase my memory of all this. But anyway, yeah, Luke
Haley. I go home and just replay this show over and over.
I know. You've got a shrine to me, haven't you, in the corner. Anyway, let's carry on. No, Kane, yeah, I mean, when he left, he was sort of our third choice right back, wasn't he? And I don't think Bristol City fans or the club really minded too much that he'd been sold. And I think Leeds fans were a bit shocked that they were signing a third choice right back. But, you know, he's blossomed very well and he plays very well and he probably would get into our team. But, you know, these things happen. These things happen. It's football, isn't it?
These things happen. It was it was interesting. I watched Lee Johnson's press conference earlier on. He was talking about, obviously, the Leeds game, the game on the weekend. That is a big one. It's West Brom. Bristol City have to be out for that. We'll cover that in the second half. But he just said the players on the weekend, you know, they froze a little bit of fear there. And what did you make of those comments?
He likes this one, to be honest. I haven't heard it for a while, but
another Johnsonism.
He likes it. I remember, you know, in fair play, I think he used it sort of when we went away to St James's Park, Villa Park, Elland Road. He's used it in the past. I find it a little bit strange because in that team, he did have quite a few sort of, you know, he had a few internationals, you know, and Henriksen in the middle. You know, Ashley Williams has played in big stadiums. You know, Dan Bentley's been a Championship player. Famro Djeju plays for Senegal internationally. Naki Wells has played in the Championship. I don't know. I think it was just one of those games where, you know what, Leeds are a better team. They drilled better. They worked harder. The atmosphere probably helped them. And you know, they had more chances than their goal reflected. So I don't really mind, to be honest. You know, if we were a better team and lost and he was looking for excuses, I'd be a bit annoyed. But the fact that we were sort of outclassed and outplayed, I'm not going to sort of, you know, dissect his comments too much, to be honest.
Well, maybe there was a little bit of truth in it. You mentioned as well, Stanley, the atmosphere, obviously, on the weekend at Elland Road. And I know Bristol City fans weren't really overly pleased with the ticket prices. I think it was £39 for an away ticket. Please correct me if that's wrong. But this whole initiative, 20 is plenty. And there is a cap at £20. So a little bit shocking that Leeds were charging £40 for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I it's tough, really, the 20s plenty initiative, really. Also, by the way, what a terrible name. It doesn't rhyme. 20 plenties. Anyway, in the Prem, they've got a cap of £30, but that's because they can afford that. You know, ticket prices and tickets and income from tickets is nothing. It's a tiny, tiny part of what Premier League clubs make and bring in. I think there were 12 clubs two seasons ago in the Prem who, if they charged nothing for their tickets, they would still turn a profit. So that gives you a sense of how little impact ticket pricing has on Premier League clubs. For Championship clubs, you know, a lot of clubs need money. So most clubs actually charge more than £20. Bristol City do. It was £32 last season for away tickets for adults. I think there should be a cap of £30, personally, even though Championship clubs spend 101% of their income overall. So a lot of these clubs need to charge high ticket prices. But I'm with you. I think when you look at the prices of trains as well, which is how a lot of fans get to games nowadays, I do think that they need to put in a cap of 30 quid. And even though that's unreasonable, in my opinion, it will sort of, you know, it will slowly get us on the right path to what is a reasonable ticket price.
I know. I feel really strongly about this. You know, fans, you know, and families who are going to games, wanting to take their kids or even travelling to games with their friends, their partners. You mentioned the train journeys. These aren't cheap. And, you know, you eat on the day, you might get a programme, you know, merchandise, you want to have a few drinks. They're not cheap days out. The fans are always thought of last, but maybe that's another show and another debate for another time, Stanley. But, you know, 20's plenty. You don't like it. I quite enjoy it. You said it didn't rhyme, but we'll move on from that. Another big story with Bristol City, they are joining forces with Hummel. They are getting a new kit partner after they've won, actually, Kit of the Year award. What did you make to this news?
Well, I thought making our own kit under Bristol was pretty radical, to be honest. I really liked it.
Radical. Loves it.
Well, yeah, I've got my thesaurus of outdated terminology there. No, I like it. I liked it when we make our own kit. And I think what's interesting, you know, in the past, I interviewed John Lansdowne, the chairman, and he said that when we were
it's not competition.
Yeah, that's the chairman, by the way, in the home dugout.
Name drop.
He told us that Adidas came down to Ashton Gate and showed him a shirt that was green and said, "This will be your new kit. Just imagine it in red because we haven't got that in." So that was the sort of service we were getting from the big boys. And I think the reason why they've gone to Hummel is so they can probably produce more kits at a faster rate, but keep some of the sort of personal and individuality that we want from producing our own kit. So I imagine we'll probably still be designing it. But Hummel will be helping us out. So, you know, I'm okay with it. We'll wait and see what they put out. They recently put out a 125th anniversary kit and it was absolute garbage, in my humble opinion. So we'll wait and see what Hummel do.
Wasn't it like it was really like touted as a wonderful special anniversary kit, record sales, and you've just absolutely just trod all over that?
Yeah, I have, and I trod all over it. And to be honest, if I trod all over it, it would probably make it look slightly better, Charlie, as well.
Wow.
Yeah, the chairman says that they've never had more pre-orders for a kit. So, you know, maybe it's not. I don't have a huge eye for fashion, as you can probably tell, Charlie, but I'm not a huge fan of it.
Well, there you go. Stanley, one to never shy away from his opinion. It's going to be tricky then what Hummel, the standards that, you know, your standards that they'll have to meet because the bar has been raised pretty high. Just quickly from you then, Stanley, before we move on. West Brom on the weekend, Huddersfield next week. What are you predicting from those two games in terms of returning points?
I think apparently only 12 players have trained today and yesterday, according to Lee Johnson. So it basically depends on how many players are going to be fit and not here. We saw Andy Vyman go off after half an hour away at Leeds. West Brom, I mean, it's a free hit for me. We got absolutely trounced up there. I was stupid enough to go on a cold Tuesday night, despite it being on Sky. So for me, it's a free hit. I just want to see some hard work in, have a few shots, and if we get a point, so be it. So I'm probably going to predict a draw. I don't think we've drawn for 15 league games, so maybe now is the time to get one. And then Huddersfield, I mean, we battered them at home and we're quite good away, so I'd probably say a narrow win there. So, you know, that's optimistic overall, but maybe 4 points out of a possible six.
Stanley, I have to ask, can you say that a free hit when you're a team trying to get to the Premier League, you're trying to get playoffs, and West Brom, I know they've turned it around of late, but they're still not, you know, pulling up any trees, just absolute nowhere near blistering form. Is it a free hit? Can you afford a waste of a game like that?
Yeah, I can say it. I'll say it again. It's a free hit for me, Charlie, and, you know, if we get a point, then that would be great.
All right, there you go. You never, ever back down. He's always doubling down. Stanley Hughes, always a wonder to be joined by you. Check Stanley out and his team, One Stream in Bristol. They are the guys giving you the extra Bristol City content. Well, there is still so much time on the show for you to have your say. Do you agree with Stanley? Is it a free hit? What did you make of the kit and now partnering up with Hummel? Have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Bristol City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we just heard from Stanley Hughes there from One Stream in Bristol. Stanley, always great value, giving his insight and his hot takes on the team right now. But a man who joins us who's just as good as what we do on this show. Why get one special guest when you can have two epic ones? It is the brilliant Paul Binning from the Exiled Robins. Well, he's not exiled on this show because we get him to have his say, as you can have yours. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Paul, always good to get you on and have a chat. No Bristol City show last week because they were playing. Obviously, that was a great result. Beating Derby. It wasn't always looking that way. 3-0 up and Derby decided to make a fight of it, but they did get those 3 points. But once again, it's been that roller coaster form up and down and obviously losing to Leeds on the weekend. What did you make of that defeat?
Hey, evening, Charlie. Well, it was a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, Leeds are a good team. You know, they're up there for a reason. They've been good a lot of the season. It's well documented. They probably not got results they maybe should have done sometimes just because of a lack of a cutting edge. And I think that, yeah, that certainly came through on Saturday. We got absolutely battered, if we're totally honest. We got mullered by them, and it probably should have been a 4 or 5 nil result. And as it was, they got their goal, but couldn't put us away despite all the pressure. And, you know, as it turns out, we had a penalty shout near the end and a chance for Naki Wells near the end. And it could have easily been 1-1 and made them all be moaning. But, yeah, they were too good for us on the day, if I'm honest. And you got to hope we can just put that to one side and, you know, not take it too heavy and not take it as a sign of form to come and just say, you know, we lost to a good team on the day away from home and in front of a big raucous crowd and say put it to the back of our minds, hopefully.
Always difficult to get a result at Elland Road. Very tricky place to go. Like you said, they had the possession, they had the chances.
Unless you're Wigan, who seems to do it all the time.
Which is very strange. Always, there's always one team, Paul. There's always one. It's a shame it's not Bristol City. We know of their record against Leeds of late. Not the greatest.
No,
but it was
not.
Only 1-0. But we have to forget that game. I mentioned this to Stanley now because even those teams in and around you, Forest, Brentford, Fulham against Barnsley, you know, this is a crazy league. It's a cliche, Paul, but it is the Championship. And you look, yes, outside the playoffs on goal difference, but 3 points off third. And, you know, this is still race on at the minute and everyone is level pegging.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, we got some big games coming up. I think we touched on that a couple of weeks ago. We got, you know, some big games coming up, not just on Saturday, but in the next sort of few weeks as well against some of those teams. And they're obviously going to be the crucial ones. You know, I think you've got to take your chances against the teams you play that aren't in that top 7 or 8, but those games on those days are obviously really crucial. So, yeah, you're right. Anyone can beat anyone, and we've got most of those teams in there to play. So you get 4 or 5 wins out of those sort of 6, 7 games, and you're obviously right in the hunt.
Yeah, and obviously we'll look towards those two games because, as Stanley suggested and Lee Johnson said in his press conference today, not many players are training at the minute. So what team will they field against West Brom? Because that is another monumental clash for the Robins. Before that, though, there's been big news for Bristol City. We've already spoke about them getting a new kit supplier with Stanley. Other big news, and it's sort of, this is across football at the minute, Paul. Teams are looking in their stadiums now to do safe standing rail seating, as it is known. Bristol City announced they will be doing this. What do you make of the news?
Yeah, I think it's been fantastic, personally. I think we were one of the first clubs to look at that. So a few years ago when this sort of concept came in, and we actually had a couple of rows installed just for a bit of PR purposes, and the guys from the lobby group came down and showed how it would work and all that sort of stuff. So it's been a long time coming for us. I think we certainly want it. The fans are behind it. Like most clubs, we've got, you know, a big section in one area of the ground who kind of, you know, generally stand up anyway and you know, spend most of the game standing up. So having something like that is obviously better and safer. And I think, fingers crossed, personally, I think it's hopefully just a start. You know, if we can put it in one corner and see how it goes, and hopefully in time it can expand and be across the sort of whole of the behind of the goal area or something at some point, because I think that's, you do miss that in atmosphere. I think, you know, some grounds are better than others, but you do miss the sort of atmosphere of being standing up, and whilst some do stand up, a lot of others don't feel they can, and, you know, having this as the place to go and a place to join it together should hopefully recreate some of that atmosphere in some of these quieter games.
Yeah, because it sounds ridiculous, Paul, but it will only enhance the atmosphere and the support at home games, which obviously will have an effect on the team. I'm not saying, look, they're going to go unbeaten and win every game, and the novelty and effect will wear off after the initial time it starts, but it will help the team in those close encounters when you've got an extra 5,000 standing up singing for 90 minutes. You know, this can help a team to no end, really.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you go away with a club, you see that often. You know, when you have a big away crowd and everyone's there and everyone's sort of standing up and cheering the team on, it can really make a massive difference. And I think it's been quite well documented, and I've talked about how we struggled a bit at home the last couple of years. And I think the trouble is, once that does happen, the crowd stays a bit quiet. You know, they sort of get into the ground. They're sort of not necessarily expecting too much. They're not really fully getting behind the team, despite our league position all the time, because performances at home haven't been great. And again, I think just having that extra element will help on those runs when you are struggling a bit at home. It will really help, you know, say more and more people coming in, and hopefully get more singing, and that should that should sort of get ring around the ground then a little bit more as well.
Yeah.
So, good news.
Yeah, definitely good news. We're hoping for more good news, because it is West Brom on the weekend. We didn't get that good news from Lee Johnson, saying that only 12 players are training at the minute. This is a bit of a worry. Still a couple of days to the game, but we know, obviously, look, Paul, every game now to the end of the season is massive when you're in a playoff race like this, but they don't really come any bigger than league leaders on the weekend, West Brom.
No, they don't. Obviously, yeah. What we don't know, of course, is who's going to be able to play, what sort of team we'll put out, and what's going to mean. And they're a tough prospect. I think they've been on superb form since they had a little bad run, didn't they, with Leeds, actually, sort of around the turn of the year, but they've been brilliant the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. They had a good transfer window, brought in a couple of good players who are adding to their squad and impacting from the bench. They've got Pereira back from injury. They're creating chances, they're scoring goals, and they're certainly the team to beat at the moment. Whether we'll have enough on Saturday, normally we're quite confident. We normally play reasonably well against the better teams sort of at home, but who knows what sort of team we're going to put out. I just hope we can put something out, be competitive. And I think you've got to be honest, you said it is tight. A defeat isn't great. A draw would not be the end of the world by any means. And I think if we can scrape a point and go into the next couple of games then against what in theory is a slightly easier task with a full squad, then you might take that if you're Lee Johnson today.
And obviously, from a Bristol City perspective, Paul, why are we seeing all these teams at the top at the minute? And Stanley referred to it, only one team of the top seven won on the weekend. Why is everyone sort of... It's not a blip, is it? But we can't really recall it, We normally get one team that emerges from the pack, and no team wants that honour and privilege at the minute.
No, it's strange, isn't it? I mean, I think there's been there's often a debate in this league as to whether it's a really good league and everyone's super competitive, or whether it's a fairly average league and no one's quite got that bit of quality to take them clear. I think if you look at the teams in there, maybe that is the case. We probably haven't got that player who lights up a game and can make a difference in a tight game. And you could argue Preston are possibly similar and some of the other teams dotting around, but. It's a strange one. I mean, the result on Saturday, I think, just summed up the league, was Fulham losing at home to Barnsley. And that, not just losing, but losing 3-0. And it just shows that anyone could beat anyone. And it sounds like a really old cliche, but it's very much true in the Championship. And I think that's what I mean in a way. I think you can go into Saturday's game, maybe scrape a point with a patched together team against West Brom, and then we could quite conceivably go around and go on the road and win our next two matches quite easily and be right back in the mix. So. Defeat isn't the end of the world, but any team like us, any team around the area who can put, say, 3 or 4 wins together in a row, going to have a really, really strong position going into the end of the season.
Yeah, and it's, what a win that would be on the weekend, because not only you're beating league leaders West Brom, but it's a win that pushes them right up, closes the gap on West Brom, and it's a win where everyone goes, this is a statement win, because this is the league leaders, and what that does for the confidence. And if other teams falter again, everyone sort of then looks to Bristol, and maybe the fear factor comes back.
Yeah, quite possible. Funny enough, we played them, and I think it was around sort of April time last year, and we took them apart in the first 20 minutes and were 3-0 up after 18 minutes on a Tuesday night. And I think that was about 6-7 games to go in the season, and we were pretty much set for the top six at that point. Unfortunately, did exactly the opposite of what you just said, and we barely got any results after that and faded away. So you never can tell. This Lee Johnson team, if anything, is unpredictable. I think we can't predict whether we're going to win at home or lose at home or struggle against a good team or what. But as you say, a win would be great. We've got a reasonable record against them at home in the last few times we played them, so I think that'll be good. They play football, which I think suits us as a team. We struggle maybe against some of the more physical teams. West Brom haven't got that, and I noticed today they seem to struggle defending set pieces, and that's one area we've been very, very good at this year. We scored a lot of headed goals, a lot of goals from set pieces. So as long as these use fit and we can get the likes of Benkovic and Baker and Callas at the back potentially coming forward on the set pieces, then you never know, obviously. We can snatch a goal or two from those positions.
Never know. Well, what is your score prediction then, Paul?
I'm going to sound really negative, mate. We're poor.
Yeah, you can't do that, Paul. You can't set it up.
Oh,
you said destroyed them in April.
We're not good at home. They're obviously very good at the moment. I think if we got a 1-1 draw out of there, I think most fans would go home delighted on Saturday night.
No, you did say that. You would take a point, and a defeat's not the worst. I mean, Stanley said it was a bit of a free hit. I don't agree with that. I do understand what he means, and you said it's not the end of the world. But did you agree with that as well?
I think if we hadn't lost on Saturday, I can sort of see what he's meaning. I think having lost, to suddenly lose two in a row, especially with performance, it would worry me if we lost again. But, as I say, I sort of know what he means, but I don't think there's enough games left to have one of those, to be honest. I think we've got to be trying to get something out of every game we've got. 10, 11, 12 games to go. Yeah, I think we've got to be looking at this as a... Say, if Barnsley can go to Fulham and win, we can certainly beat West Brom at home.
Absolutely, Paul. Always a pleasure to be joined by you. Paul Binning there, from the exiled Robin. Like I said, he's not exiled on this show. This has been the Bristol City Fan Show, as it is every Wednesday, 9 to 9.30 on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. We'll be right back.